weird? Isn't it weird? We were just talking
about... Knock,
knock. Paisley Penny Arcade.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Moe, and you are, well, you know who you are. So as you were, and as you are, and etc., etc. How are you? Today is February the 12th of 2025. It is a Wednesday, and where I am, it is absolutely cold as can be. Well, it can be a lot colder, as a matter of fact. Tonight it's supposed to get pretty darn chilly, and I think it's going to get pretty cold. I was out shoveling snow just a little wee bit ago, and wowee, was it cold, and the sun was shining. Sometimes that wintry sun just can't do much. Now, in the old calendar, Imbolc was on the 2nd, and Imbolc, of course, is in the old calendar system. Our current Groundhog Day and my daughter's birthday, by the way. And but also the first day of spring. And you could... can't tell by me. But just a chilly day all the way around. So how are you? I hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing wonderfully. I hope things are going splendidly for you. And I hope you're having a good week. I'm not going to lie to you. This has been a tough week for me, a very, very difficult week. I have had challenges. I'm going to talk today about some things. There's been a lot on my mind, a whole lot on my mind. First thing I'd like to do, however, before I get into the serious stuff, is wish my brother, my kid brother. He's not the kid brother. He's the middle brother. He's still a kid, you know. He's my brother, and he's... his name's Happy, and happy birthday, Happy. It's his brother's birthday today. It's my brother's birthday today. It's a brother birthday. It's a birthday brother. And he's... poor kid's in the hospital. And, yeah, you don't want to spend your birthday in the hospital. But he's having to, and I love him. And it's a lousy thing to do, to spend your birthday in the hospital. But he is loved, and he will be visited, I'm quite sure. And his son, the doctor-to-be, was in there, and I got to talk to him a little while ago. And that's Peyton. Peyton, on my show years ago, Out of Moe's Mind, used to be on the air. And he, you know, tiny little voice, Uncle Moe, and he'd ask questions. And, oh, God, I'm so proud of him. But so happy. If you're listening, happy birthday. And I love you. And I hope you get better really, really soon. And God, let's make the world a better place, huh? Your son sure is. He's got another son named Zachy, and he's a great kid. And he's got a daughter named Alex and a daughter named Addy, and they're wonderful people. And his wife, Amy, they're a wonderful family. I have a wonderful, wonderful family. I am as lucky as luck can be. I'm blessed. And I have been blessed, my family, with my family and my friends. So, I've been thinking a lot. And I've been thinking a lot because last week I lost a friend. It's not the first friend I've lost. I'm 71 years old. No, I'm not. I'm not 71 yet. I'll be 71 in a few months. But the friend I lost was 71. It's my friend Bill. I've known Bill for 55 years. And Bill was probably my closest friend. And we were like brothers. We used to call each other brother. And according to his phone activity, they told me, I was the last person he talked to. And that was a week ago last Monday. And we had a wonderful discussion. It was fun. We talked for about half an hour. We talked about politics, and we were on the same page with that, which was things are pretty screwed up. And I think I embarrassed Bill sometimes. I did. I met him on the first day of high school. And we were friends pretty quickly. And we were friends through high school. And of course, you know, people, I moved away and I moved back. And then he moved and then I moved away for several years. And came back and he had moved and then he went off and started a business and he came back and then he moved away and but we were always in contact and we talked all the time and we ended up back in the same vicinity and I had gotten married and had kids and he got married and got divorced and then I got divorced and I'd had kids and I mean it's just wonderful stuff. I mean we've been through life together. He got married. He got divorced. He had kids. I mean, it's just incredible. And we ended up in the same vicinity and getting together often and having lunch, having Indian food. And that was our thing. We've been having Indian food for about 40 years. And last week, Bill died. And I have been just crushed. And I think I can hold it together. But I've been doing a lot of thinking about life and about the importance of people in our lives and the importance of friendship and the importance of family and the importance of not letting yourself move away from being with people. It's easy to isolate yourself. It's easy to pull away from people and to become isolated. I see it all the time, and I've seen it many, many times before. I've lost a lot of friends. And that, of course, is part of the blessing of growing old. And I am very blessed to grow old. And I hope to grow a whole lot older. And so I have to accept this as part of what it's about. It's hard. It's hard. There will be a celebration of Bill's life next week. And my son, who knew Bill his whole life, is going to come and join me. It's hard to do those things alone. And of course, I know Bill's sisters, and I know his daughters. And so it'll be an emotional situation, but I'm also going to try and celebrate it as much as I can. But part of it also is that you see someone kind of become, you know, how do people at some point decide they no longer want to engage in life? I'm not saying he did that, but I've seen people do that. They decide, okay, I no longer want to engage in life. I no longer want to be a part of, you know, for me, I would want to date again if something happened in my relationship. I would want to meet people. I would want to go out. I would want to do things. I would want to socialize. Right now, to be just perfectly honest, I can't do much. My wife is not very ambulatory. She can't get around. And she has terrible arthritis. terrible arthritis. And so I don't get to do very much. But I'm not complaining. That's just the truth. I can't do much because she really does need me. And that's fine. That's fine. That's perfectly okay. And I'm fine with that. But if there was something, you know, if I was in a situation where I wouldn't shut myself off. I'm just saying that. I wouldn't say, okay, I'm just going to be here alone and not do anything, like a lot of people do. They say, I don't want to do it. And yes, the world is a strange place, and people are very weird now. Maybe they've found that's all right. I'm as old as I am, people have always been really weird. People have always been very strange. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's important for us to stay social and to stay alert and alive and to want to flow with others. And by flow, I mean to be active and to be a part of whatever plan there is. You know, love is an important thing. Now, Bill was totally into his family. He used to say, family is everything. And he meant it. He was a responsible guy. God, he was a generous man. Generous man. I used to have to, you know, almost hijack the bill in order to pay for his birthday lunch. Yeah, we always find an excuse to go out to lunch, but you know, I'd have to nearly tackle the person. We used to go to these Indian buffets, and I'd have to tackle him and say, no, I'm paying. He was very generous. Even in high school, he'd always get the bill. You know, we'd go to the IHOP or we'd go somewhere and there'd be a table of four or five people, and he'd always try and get the bill. It was just the way he was. You know, I'm really going to miss him. He was a good listener, and I'm a good talker, as you know. But the point is that as life goes on, some people just say, I don't feel like trying anymore. And I believe that as social creatures, we human beings, it's important for us to keep trying. It's important for us to keep involved in the concept of socialization, or at least just having friends, more than just, let's say, one person, more than just a couple of people, and sometimes more than just family. I love that little zing, that excitement in life, that little turn on. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be lust. It doesn't have to be, but you know that feeling when you catch someone's eye, or that feeling when you're sitting with someone and you're talking about life, and you get a little bit excited because something, you know, life is not meant to be a drag. It's meant to be exciting and fulfilling and fantastic. That's what it's meant to be. And it isn't always that for people. And I think some people make a choice and decide, well, I'm just going to give up. I'm not even going to try anymore. And I find that to be, I don't understand it. I have always thought that life is for living and life is fantastic all the time. Maybe it's because I'm weird. Maybe it's because I'm fascinated with really strange stuff. Pardon me. It's dry here. I was out in the dry. Boy, was it dry out there. There's so many different ways to interact. So many different ways to do things. It doesn't take as much as we think. You know, I used to say to him, dating app. Hey, just look at me like I'd grown an extra nostril right in the middle of my forehead. That was completely no way. He used to go to church. I'd say, go to church. No. You know, he would not go to church, but don't they have a, you know, dating thing at church? And aren't there single? And he'd just look at me like, mind your own business. He was a gentleman. He never would have said to me, you know, mind your own business. But I could see it. And it was like he just didn't want to bother. It just was not worth it. After two marriages, and I just think he was exhausted from that. And I'm the type that I would never, ever stop trying. Never. Because I believe in love. And I believe in the possibility of finally getting it right. Not that I haven't, but I'm just saying. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just that I'm a romantic. I believe in that whole paradigm, that whole 60s myth, if it is a myth. It's just important to have something to believe in. Even if it is a myth, so what? Don't you want your blood to pump? Don't you want your heart to just feel that little zing every now and then, you know? To me, it's vital that you have something to believe in, that you have something to hope for. That's what I believe. And I think too many people just give up. I got to tell you, I went to high school with a really sweet person. I really liked her. And Facebook, you know, Facebook, this is this amazingly weird place. It's like, you know, I scroll through it and I'm always amazed. It's like some sort of surprise party because you see all this weird stuff. It's like, you know, thing after thing after thing, and it makes no sense. There are these algorithms and you have no idea what you're going to see next. Yeah, it's like seeing, okay, there's this, then there's this, then there's this, and none of it makes any sense. It's just, and that's why I like it. It's like this, just weird after weird after weird after weird, and I like that. You know, it's just that. And but you also see people that you know, people from my generation, people I went to high school with, and sometimes family members and stuff like that, you know. Not everyone I like, but it's interesting. It's interesting. And there's this girl that I went to high school with that I really liked. She was very sweet, and we were friends. And she's in her, God, she's got to be in her late 60s. And she just got married for the first time. And it made my heart just sore. And I don't mean sore as an achy. You know, that's not what I It made me happy. It made me just, and she's so happy, you know, because she never got married. And I thought, well, you know, and she's really a remarkably lovely person, but she got married and they got married in a church and they had a lot of people show up and it was fantastic. And I thought, thank goodness. And she's overjoyed. And she changed her name, and, you know, and it's like, why not? Why not? Why do we have to, you know, I thought that's fantastic. You have to believe. You have to hold it on to it until it happens for you. And she was just as cute as could be, I always thought. You know? I had no confidence. None. In high school, when it came to dating, I had a lot of confidence in other things, you know, but when it came to dating, none, zero. I never had what I consider to be a successful date. None. Zero. Zonk. I had a lot of fun in other things, but when it came to that sort of thing, and so I didn't make good choices always. When it came to that world. But I had good friends, and I had a lot of... I did other things. It was, you know, early 70s, and we were doing other things, you know, like, you know, that sort of thing. It was that era, and we were doing other things as well, you know. And it was a strange time, but that's what it was. But I have to tell you something. Friendships were strong. And I was nuts. I was out of my mind. I was a freak. I still kind of look like I'm going to have a haircut in 8 months, or my beard trimmed in 8 months. And so we'd go out to, and lunch, and Bill, he was in business. He got a degree in business from UC Boulder, and then he went back to Colorado State and got an MBA. And he was in business, and he owned a bike shop on the Western Slope in Grand Junction, and then he did that for years, and then the market fell on the oil shale market out there, and so it didn't do so well after a while. He did damn well for quite a while, and then he had worked in the movie theaters in my hometown, and so he went back and managed movie theaters for a long time, and he was a pretty astute guy, and he did that, and managed other things. He was a good manager, but he was always very straight looking. You know, he wasn't quite as straight as he looked, that's for sure. But eventually, he looked very straight. He adopted the look. It was just the way he looked. And I don't think he was he a straight toward the end. I mean, he was kind of straight, you know. But here I was with my hair and my beard, and I think I would embarrass him every now and then, you know. One day I was feeling extremely pagan. I think it might have been Beltane that we went out to lunch together, and my hair was frizzy and my beard, and I wore beads and a tie-dye shirt and some tie-dye Crocs, you know, and he said, "Is that a hippie costume?" And I said, "No, it's just me, you know." And I really did look pretty wild. I think I did embarrass him from time to time. But he still loved me, you know. So what can you do? That's life. That's life. And that's the way it goes. But you can't cut yourself off. You can't cut yourself off. At least I don't believe it's a good idea. You have to be out there. By the way, did any of you guys catch Mark on Monday on the on YouTube? I tuned in for a little bit, but I was dealing with a lot of other things, as you can imagine. But he looked really good. That was fantastic. I don't think I'm going to do that. My office is too weird for people, you know, with the stuff that I have in here, you know, the sarcophagus, and it's a prop. Don't get excited, you know, but the Paisley Penny Arcade is, for many people, just a little like, that's weird, you know, but, and I'm too weird looking. You know, that's the way it goes, too. I wear clothing. I will say that. I don't do the show without clothing. Plus, it's cold in here. Even in the summer, it's cold in the Paisley Penny Arcade. You know, so what are you going to do there? But I've decided, since I've known so many people who have gone the route of isolation and alienation, and it hasn't worked well for them, a friend of mine years ago, you know what often does it? For him, it was a girlfriend who kind of spurned him, turned away from him, didn't choose him. And he went down this rabbit hole of anger and isolationism that became a real hardcore right-wing nationalism that today we might even call neo-Nazism, I would think. And he died about 10 years ago. Kind of a broken heart, you know. You have a heart problem that I think could be maybe termed a broken heart. I'm not sure, but I've heard of that. But it took him a while, and over the years he became more and more detached, and he became kind of a doomsdayer, hoping for it, You know, he used to say to me, what are you going to do to earn your keep? Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to earn your keep when the end comes? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, what's your worth? And I said, well, you know, probably no, I don't have worth. If I have to prove my worth, you know, I just said, come on, stop. Pardon me, I had to get a drink of water here. My throat is very dry. But then one day, boom. But he was very unhappy. Very unhappy. He and I had been very close as well. And of course, that hit me hard. But he had become so cynical. Bill was never that cynical. But he'd become very cynical and very angry. And after Columbine, and I knew one of the victims of Columbine. That was hard, because he was a great kid. But after that, this friend of mine would go around and if someone was speaking, one of the parents of Columbine, he'd heckle him. And I'd say, you shouldn't do that, man. And he'd say, why not? They're making money off their kids. And I'd say, you know, just stop it. And so when people become hurt, they then seek to hurt others. And I just think that there's something wrong there. Now Bill never hurt anyone in his life. He was the sweetest, kindest man. But I'm seeing this pattern of isolationism of people, and I've decided I've seen kind of enough of it. I would like people to, I don't know how to help, but I'm going to start working on that, I think. That I think the time has come to try and find a way for people to live life again, to come out into the sun, even if it's cold outside the way it is here. 10 degrees when I was outside a little while ago. It's going to get down into the below zeros again. And last week it was like we got almost to 70. You know, Colorado's weird. But I think that life should be beautiful. Life should be wonderful. Life should be a joy. Especially he had 7 grandchildren, you know. Man, I wake up every day with this little twinkle that says, I'm here. I'm here. And I'm grateful, and I'm excited, and I'm overjoyed that I'm here. Even if it's too early, even if Coco, our puppy, is you know, wake up! Wake up! Come on, guys! The sun is beginning to get up, and wake up! You know, which is what she does. Get up! Come on, guys! And I wake up and I think, I would like to sleep a little while longer, but you know what? I'm alive. And I'm overjoyed to be here. I mean, it's a wonderful feeling to be here. And I think, okay, I have to get up and you know, splash some water on the face and you know, take this mop of hair that I have, whatever's left, and try and subdue it into place. And here I am. Life. And I have people who love me and people that I love. And this incredible opportunity to talk to you and to write a column. And here we are. Now, I think we should all be able to feel some sense of joy in this. And not everybody does. Now, some of it, of course, is biological. You know, some of it is medical. But for those who aren't, and there are people way too young who feel this way, and there are people, some of it's social media, I think, but some of it is more than that. We need to find a way to help each other. We need to find a way to say, you know, let's get back into the joy of living. We mess up. We tear each other down too much. Critical. People are critical. Aren't you tired of critical people? I know I am. And I let people criticize me all the time. What do you do when someone criticizes you? Do you fight back? You don't have to fight back, you know. It isn't necessary to fight back when people are critical of you. See, a lot of people think that you have to say something back when people criticize you. I believe you don't have to say anything at all. You just ignore it. I just don't pay much attention anymore. I used to get angry. Someone would criticize me and I'd get pissed. I'd say, well, because when you get angry at it, you get your dander up. I don't know that that does you any real good. You get angry. Anger is fear, right? Anger is pain. But if you can just ignore it, what you're doing is you're saying, consider the source. Anger, all anger is based in usually either fear or pain. Because you get angry, someone says, well, how dare he say that? Just if someone criticizes you, you just say, so what? Someone criticizes me, and I think, yeah, so whatever. So what? I mean, it happens a lot. Certainly in relationships, criticism comes. You know, it usually comes in a truckload. And if someone else criticizes you at work or something, if they owe you a paycheck, then you have to kind of listen. But you also have to say, all right, sometimes there's a reason for that criticism. And you just say, well, fine. Is it legitimate? Did I really put the red dot on the yellow beacon when I was supposed to put the white civets in the burly baggin? If I did that, then I made a mistake. Then the criticism was perfectly, you know, flingat. Then you're fine. But if it's just because they don't appreciate you, then that's another thing. But most of the time, it really is kind of nonsensical. And I believe that most of the time, we can just kind of ignore it and say, so what? Who cares? Now, in Egypt, there is a term. It's not necessarily polite, but it's one that I grew up hearing a lot because my mom would say it. And it's a lovely term. It's tuz. Tuz. Which means, so what? You know, tuz. And it was like, you know, so we'd come in and we'd say, so what's for dinner? And she'd say, spinach soup or something like that. And we'd go, oh my God, I don't want to have that. And she'd say, tuz, which means, so what? I don't care. Or, I really don't want to go there and do this. And tuz. Doesn't matter to her. She doesn't care. It's this incredible term of saying, I don't care what you want, or I don't care about this at all. Tuz. I love the term. I've always loved it. There was even a bumper sticker that my mom brought back from Egypt. My sister and mom brought back that said, tuz, you know. And I've always liked it because it really kind of says it. Tuz. You don't like what I'm doing, or you don't like this or that. Tuz, who cares? And I've really adopted that in my mind a lot of the time. When someone doesn't like the way you do something, tuz, don't care. Who cares? And the nice thing about it is you can just think it. You know, who cares? We take things much too seriously. Now, there are some things that have to be taken seriously. Some of the things that are going on right now around us should be taken fairly seriously, especially if they affect you. Some of the things that are going on may affect you. Some of them may not affect you. Some of them may affect you eventually, and some of them may not affect you at all. I'm kind of trying to get a feel for what does affect me and what doesn't, you know? So, that's just kind of how that goes. And being kind of someone who doesn't really... That was one thing about Bill that that about me that drove Bill mad was that he was into money. He understood money and stuff. He called me up one day and said, or sent me, was a text, or did he call me? I said, oh, did you find out about your cola? And I said, my cola? Well, I like Diet Coke. I think it tastes better than Diet Pepsi. He said, what? I said, yeah, I like Diet Coke better. And he said, no, not that. Your cost of living advancement. And I said, what? He said, are you not interested in that at all? I said, I don't even know what that is. And he said, oh, my God. He said, I don't understand how you get through sometimes. And I said, oh, yeah, no, I don't do that. Because my world is this, this world, the world of tarot cards, the world of astrology, the world of the I Ching, the world of nose flutes, the world of, and he thought that was fascinating that I lived in that world, but he couldn't understand because his world was vastly different. And that's what makes friendships, and that's what makes the world, and that's what makes things interesting, is that we are all so very different, And that's what I love about people, is that we are all so very different. And that's why we should keep doing what we do. Now, he worked right up until the very end. And that's fascinating, too, because people loved him. He was fascinating. He was good. He was very smart. He kept up on things. He always learning things. So, maybe that was, but he also had that other side that was a bit of a, just wanted to have his privacy. Maybe that's all understandable, I don't know. I don't like to judge. But I think it's important to keep that spark alive, that little spark, that little aha, I like the aha business, that little ding, 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 if you know what I mean. That's just me. Not everyone likes it. I do. I like that zing, if you know what I mean. I don't even know what it is anymore. Yeah, I think I do. It's fun to be alive. And I think part of it for me is that feeling of exploring new ideas, exploring new things. I'll never forget when I found out in Safariel's book on, it's kind of theoretical astrology, where you cast a chart based on a numerology of a name. I can't remember what that's called. Wow, and I can see the book in my mind. I just can't remember the name of it. But you learned how to cast, you could basically accurately tell what the phase of the moon was from a date, and it worked. And I memorized all these different things, and it was called the epact of the moon, and it was just one of the most exciting things I had ever seen in my life, because you could take any date, and from that date you could extract the phase of the moon. Now think about that. So the Titanic, boom, phase of the moon, da 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 da. You could go, it's April 14th, 1914, boom, 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 or whatever it was. I don't remember exactly. I think that's it. But you could go in and da da da, and you'd have the phase of the moon. What a lovely little thing to know. And I had it memorized at one time. And that excited me so much because what an arcane bit of knowledge, but also very, very useful. Because you could, on the spur of the moment, say to someone, okay, what is your birth date? And you could very quickly ascertain what their moon sign was, or what the phase of the moon was. And then you could also ascertain where their moon was. And since I do Vedic astrology, I could do that as well. And it was a tremendous thing. And it was very exciting because it was also very accurate. And so I love that type of thing. That's exciting to me. That sort of little game. But more than that, it's useful. I like useful things like that. Or I like learning about other cultures and the way they do things, you know. I like little tools like Tibetan prayer wheels that are fun to use, you know. And also that are useful to use. You learn about the way other people look at the world and the way they interact with the world. That's exciting to me. The way that things work. I get bored with the same old thing, looking at the world the same old way. I think that there's much more to life than that. And there are people who don't. There are people who are afraid of looking at the world differently. There are people who are cowards when it comes to opening their eyes to other sides of life. And that seems very sad to me. Did you know that there's a papyrus known as the Leyden Papyrus, which is one of the most famous papyri that there is? It's a papyrus, but, you know, it's many papyri. And that there's a whole part of it that has been hidden away because it's like a, what would you call it? We would call it pornographic. But what it is it's like a marriage thing, you know. Here's what people do when they're alone and they're naked. You know, it's like the Kama Sutra. And it shows very specific sexual acts. And it's like, and I didn't know that until just a few years ago. And I was like, oh my God, this is, I think it's the Leyden Papyrus. I'm pretty sure it is. And it's like, okay, well, who hid this away? Well, of course, the scholars who discovered it. They said, oh, we can't possibly let people see this because this is scandalous. And it's like, wait a minute. What sort of incredible, thin-skinned, thick-headed scholarship is this that says we can't possibly let anyone see this? Well, that's the type of thing that I'm talking about. People who are afraid to you know, and of course they put it in locked cages in libraries. Have you ever been in a library and you've seen the locked cages? I have. When I was young, I used to go to libraries and I would see these locked cages. And I would say, what's in there? And these books were oftentimes in Latin. And I would think, oh, Latin, you know. So I took some Latin classes and I would take the books down. I still couldn't read them, you know. And it was, you know, still not just, yeah. And what I could read wasn't very interesting. And the thought was, is that you had to be of such a high-mindedness that these types of things, you didn't want to be titillated. But I hate that way of thinking. I hate that sense of we are human beings and we need to share knowledge and we need to share the openness of human condition. And of course now things are so strange. Oof. And so this is what's happening now in the world, is that there are people who are trying to put the genie back in the bottle. You know that story, that saying comes from the first of the Arabian Nights, the story of the fisherman. In this story, I know the Arabian Nights are really weird too. They're fantastic, but fascinating, very fascinating. This fisherman is on the beach and he's trying to catch fish and he finds a bottle and there's a seal on the top, and that seal, of course, is the Seal of Solomon, which keeps the jinn that's inside of it locked in. But he breaks the seal open and out comes this huge genie. And this jinn is extremely irritable because he's been in there for thousands and thousands of years. And he says, you know, the first 1,000 years I said, whoever lets me out, I'm going to make him the richest man in the world. And this and that and this and that. And he, you know, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally says, he's in there so long that he says, whoever lets me out, I'm going to kill. Because he's been in there so long and he's irritable. And so this fisherman says, hey, I just let you out. What are you going to kill me for? He says, because I was angry. I'm angry. I'm going to kill you. And so the genie's going to kill him. So that's where the saying, can't put him back in the bottle. And he says, you didn't come out of this bottle. He says, I did so. He says, not it. Pshaw, you did not come out of this bottle. He says, I did too. And he says, no, you didn't. He says, yes, I did. He said, prove it. You can't even get your little toe in this bottle. He says, I did so. He says, you did not. You lying. And of course, he tricks him back in the bottle, puts the stopper back in, and that's the end of the story. So, but that's not what's happening here. They're trying to put that genie back in, and of course, that genie's not going back in the bottle. You can't go backwards. Because what we've learned is that there is this real desire in our society for people to connect. That if you give people a forum, like social network, like TikTok, which I've never seen, just because it's all too confusing for me. And I know myself, if I got on TikTok, I'd probably be on for like 12, 40 hours in a row, you know. Instagram, which I'm not a member of, I think I signed up once and just never went back. And Facebook, which is, you know, I do that. Not a lot. I guess a lot. No, that's not true. I think I do it every day. But I just look like a, you know, like a man hypnotized. It's like, wow, wow, wow. But the truth of the matter is that when you give people the opportunity to express themselves, they really can't stop. They just can't stop. And that's what we are. We are communicators. That's what we do. We communicate. And that's what we need to do. And when we stop communicating, or when we communicate solely out of anger, we have problems. You know that when J.D. Vance went to Germany, not yesterday but the day before, I think it was over the weekend, I'm not sure exactly when, that hundreds of thousands of Germans came out to protest the right-wing German party, the pro-Nazi party, to protest it, because they see J.D. Vance as being pro-Nazi party. Hundreds of thousands of them came out to protest him and his perceived allegiance to the pro-right. That's something. That's saying we refuse to be quiet about this. And that's who we are. We are people who communicate. We insist on communicating. We insist on being loud at times when we believe in something. And so when we stop communicating, something happens to us. Something happens to us. This is why I communicate, because I can't keep my mouth shut. I've never been able to. I was a kid who talked in class after I'd been told to stop talking, you know. That's me. I'm the guy who thinks to myself, shut up, Mo. Shut up, Mo. And that Mo keeps talking, you know. Shut up, Mo. You're going to get yourself into trouble. Mo gets into trouble. Because I believe that communicating is so important and so vital that it's simply something that we need to do. I want to help people. I want to help people. And I think you do too. And I don't think we have to say something all the time, but it's sometimes it's energetic. Sometimes it's being someone's friend. Sometimes it's loving somebody. The way that I love you. And I mean it. And I mean it. Drew Carey at the end of The Price is Right, and I love that show just because it's so greed-driven, but it's also such fun. People, when they lose, they go, hey, it was fun, you know. It's Vegas, essentially. It is without having to put up an initial bet. And that's basically what it is. But at the end of the show, he looks into the camera, and with complete sincerity, he says, I love you. And he talks about mental health. And he knows what he's talking about, because you can see it. He can see it. He talks about mental health. And he says it with complete and total honesty. But when he says, I love you, he means it. And I mean it too. Because I think that love is underrated. In 2 days is Valentine's Day. And that is one of the most misunderstood holidays there is, I think. It is taken from the Roman festival of Juno, who was the wife of Jupiter, right? And Juno is a little bit different than Hera. Hera, who was the wife of Zeus. Hera was extremely angry, and with good reason, because Jupiter basically could not keep it in his toga. And so she was angry. And she visited a lot of wrath upon a lot of poor human women, often. You know, basically the women that Jupiter visited were destroyed. And he had a lot of offspring, like Hercules and, you know, so on and so forth. She liked Jason of the Argonauts, and she protected him. But others had very bad things happen to them because of Hera. And she wouldn't just punish the child. She'd punish the entire lineage for decades, for generations to come. And so Juno was different. Juno was the goddess of monogamy and love of spouse. So, and the festival of Juno was about cleansing, and February was known as the festival of cleansing. As a matter of fact, Febreze means cleaning, and the month of February is the month of cleansing, because that's what it means. So it's not really, it was known as the Lupercalia, which was the festival of wolves, because wolves mate for life. So, and I'm sure the Romans dressed up in slutty slave outfits and slutty senator outfits and that sort of thing, the way we do here, but it was much more important than that. It was about proclaiming love, but more than that, true, deep love, you know. Wasn't about greed and multi-million dollar, greeting cards and all that sort of thing. It's hard to proclaim it in this society. It seems so hollow. I don't even know how to do it anymore. Yeah, always rings untrue for some reason. I don't know. I guess I just have a hard time with it. But the point is that we ache to communicate. So I think that is an important thing we need to consider. How do we communicate? We have to try. We have to try. I think it's so important. Now we need to love. I don't feel that I have fallen short in that. I think when I began to tell Bill that I loved him many years ago, I'd say, "I love you, man." He kind of looked at me and, okay. And then eventually he'd say, "I love you too." But I think it was probably in the beginning a little, you know, surprising. But I'm an old hippie. And I'm still a hippie, old or not. And I'll be one forever. And love is not a foreign concept to me. Love is an important concept to me. The most important of all. Because love is what it is about. And what's happening now, right now, in this country is about fear. And it's about domination, which is based in fear. Because people are afraid, so they want to control everything, so they can control it so that they're not afraid anymore. And it's not about love. It's not about helping others. It's about controlling things so they're no longer afraid. And that's not cool. And that's not positive. So all we can do is hope for the best. And all we can do is extend our love to others. And all we can do is embrace each other and really, really spread our love as much as we can. Let's make each other feel better. Let's give each other the best we can And really, really, really believe. I think everything's going to be fine. Man, it's been a long week. I haven't slept great. My heart has been broken. But you guys are my friends. My true friends. And the fact that you're listening to me makes me feel good. And I love you. So until next week, I wish you all peace and love. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Moe, and this is the Paisley Penny Arcade. And if you've never been here before, welcome. And if you've been here before, welcome, welcome. Come on in, have a seat. There are beanbag chairs everywhere. There are big, fluffy, puffy chairs everywhere. There are leather recliners everywhere. They're pleather. Please don't get bent out of shape there. There are all sorts of... Do get bent out of shape if that's what suits you. Some people like being bent out of shape a little bit. There are chairs of every kind. There's all sorts of things going on here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. There's Paisleys everywhere. They're floating around. Grab one. Put it in your hand. Let it rotate a little bit. Look at it. Changes colors before your very eyes. That's the nature of the place. It changes as you sit. It's filled with grit and wit and a little bit of spunk, you know, energy, grit, whatever. Grits. I like grits. Used to eat grits in the South. I'm not sure I've had grits since. My goodness, it's been a long time since I've had grits. You can buy it in the store, you know. I guess that's me talking to me. Hello. First of all, today is Wednesday, the 15th of January, 2025. And, wow. It's my kid brother's birthday. Happy birthday to my kid brother. He's a delightful human being, and I love him very much. He's a great guy. He is that. And to all my friends, and to all my listeners, and you're my friends, and I love you very much. And to all of you in California, please, sorry for what's going on. Be safe. And what a tragedy that's going on there with
the wildfires, and man, are they wild. And this is not the first time California has gone through this. Unfortunately, I think we all know it won't be the last time. But what a devastating and terrible disaster. I mean, I know people there. And I know